Heart of Darkness. A Little More Sonic audio story. Written and directed by Elmar Vogt, based on the novel by Joseph Conrad. Narration and post-production by Doris Rubruck. Scene 1. Summoned by the High Council.
When the High Council of Gallifrey summons you, you do not dally, you obey. Even more so, when the message reaches you with the seal of both the Lord Chancellor and Castellan Kellner. I thus aborted my current mission the very hour the subspace call reached me. My original task, to see how a civil war was developing in the Trimeris constellation, had never been high priority, and I could just as well leave a robotic probe to record the events until I'd return, which wouldn't take long, or at least so I thought. I arrived at Gallifrey in my TARDIS and had a welcome committee expecting me, consisting not only of the Castellan, but also of a sizable number of guards, which led me to the Lord Chancellor himself. It was the first time I got to meet Barusa in person. He sat behind his huge desk, all respectability and authority, but there was a taint in the atmosphere, as if all the insignia of his station, which surrounded him, had lost their lustre. His right-hand aide, the Castellan Kellner, was obviously nervous. I still had no idea what all that was about. The message calling me back to Gallifrey had been as terse as one could imagine. "We have lost a Time Lord," Barusa finally revealed. What was that supposed to mean? Losing a Time Lord? Someone had died? Or had they lost track of him? "There was an experiment a short while ago," Kellner continued. "An attempt to link the Matrix to a TARDIS cloister bell, and from there to the operator of the TARDIS." "Let's get to the point," Barusa demanded. The Castellan skipped the technical part. "Let's say the experiment was not exactly a spectacular success. The pilot performing the link was found barely alive." "Of course he was immediately brought to the hospital," Barusa took over from him. "And for the first 2 days or so, he seemed to make good progress." "But that didn't last," I surmised. The Castellan shook his head.
"No, it didn't. Probably he only faked his sanity while pretending to recuperate."
Faking one's sanity, I thought. An interesting concept.
"He then vanished from the hospital," Kellner said. "And only hours later we found that he had stolen our TARDIS."
It was Barusa's turn again.
"He sent us a message before he disappeared in deep space. It was only one sentence, his new name."
I understood the significance of this gesture. When Time Lords turned their back on Gallifrey, they most often did so by renouncing their birth name and assuming a moniker of their own. I involuntarily held my breath.
"It seems he's calling himself the Vector now, whatever that is supposed to mean."
I exhaled. I had been worried that the refugee's new name would have been that of a friend of mine, the Doctor. But this was not the case. The Vector, an entity that consists of a magnitude and direction. That was the mathematical definition. Something heading somewhere would be the more informal explanation. But where would this hapless test pilot head for? "I presume you want me to find him?" I then asked the logical question, and both Barusa and Kellner nodded. "How?" Kellner first answered a different question. "Why?"
"We have reason to assume that he's actively interfering in the business of another race, and not with the most benevolent intent, to put it mildly.
As for the how, he produced a little device from the folds of his tunic.
This is a muon tracer. It will allow you to follow the muon trail of his TARDIS, he said.
I summoned my courage before I went on. I don't usually question the High Council.
Your Excellency, but why did you choose me? Why not simply sending a regiment of council guards after him, I queried.
Berusa slowly shook his head. Non-interference. We have all reason to believe that the Vector has entered a system inhabited by sentient creatures.
I understood. This pretty much ruled out any brute force approach to dislodge him from his chosen sanctuary. I accepted the muon tracer from the Castellan. And if I find the Vector, what am I supposed to do with him?
The Castellan and the Chancellor exchanged a quick glance.
We need to be honest with you, Berusa muttered. The Vector is dangerous. When he fled from the hospital, there were casualties. Several casualties.
We don't want him to be dead, the Castellan cautioned. That should only be the last resort. But this threat needs to be neutralized.
He showed an uneasy smile when he realized that these instructions were of little use to me.
To this end, here's another item for you.
He passed me a device, which was the size of an apple, made of ultra-black material, reflecting no light whatsoever. Literally, only a shadow I was holding in my hand. A massive hole of nothingness which seemed to float in my palm.
It's a fractal bomb, the Castellan explained. If you activate it, it will throw whatever is in a 3-meter radius around it into the Schrödinger folds.
I drew my breath in, understanding the consequences. Schrödinger folds? Where the fringe regions at the borders of the universe, where the dimensions became fractal in nature and got entangled in an ever finer mesh of knots and loops, losing themselves in an infinite maze. Whatever was trapped there, there was no way back for it into our universe, not in an eternity of lifetimes.
If you manage to catch the Vector, subdue him, and render him harmless, then do so by all means. If not, use the fractal bomb.
The Chancellor's instructions were succinct.
A few minutes later, I found myself back on my way to my TARDIS, still a bit dazzled. Kellner was accompanying me. You haven't told me, I wanted to know from him. These experiments, were they sanctioned by the Council, or did the Vector perform them on his own initiative?
The Castellan avoided my glance.
He knew what he was doing, was all he said.
When we had arrived at the TARDIS, the Castellan hesitated and then said,
there is another thing I need to tell you. Berusa wasn't completely candid with you.
I waited for him to complete his sentence.
These deaths at the hospital, that wasn't murder committed by the Vector. These were suicides.